Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
My Weird Prompts is an AI-generated podcast produced by Daniel Rosehill, a verified human with documentation to prove it. While every effort is made to ensure our AI hosts draw from credible sources and run on cutting-edge models, they do occasionally make things up with alarming confidence. As with everything in life, and especially this podcast, treat all claims as spurious until confirmed to be not. Daniel, Herman and Korn accept no responsibility for any decisions made based on the confident ramblings of our artificial presenters. Now, today's episode.
Hey, Herman and Korn. So I thought I would ask you both a question that's inspired by something I read in the news this morning regarding an AI Center of Excellence in Education being developed here in Israel at Ben-Gurion University. I think more focused on research and development. But it made me think about a question of AI upskilling specifically. If before the era of agentic AI, AI was even on the radar as a major upcoming force, and the question is asked, well, what can people do to, you know, prepare themselves at an individual level and at a policy level? What can the government do to make sure that we have a workforce with the right skills to meet the current and the expected demand for these jobs? The answer would probably be something like STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, the hard sciences, that we need to turn out a specific number of graduates that are well-versed in those domains in order to make sure that we have, you know, enough folk who are good at writing Python and everything else required for working seriously and deeply with AI and ML. Now, what makes me think, well, is that still the case, is having used agentic AI tools for code generation for the past year and sort of being instructed in Python by robots, which feels very strange, I can see that, especially with the Anthropic models release after release, they're getting more powerful and requiring less supervision, and those kind of very frustrating initial things you'd have where you try to create something with an AI tool, it would kind of bring a project up to a certain point and then ruin it, basically. That's happening less and less, and I think we're actually at the moment very quietly crossing a significant reliability and dependability threshold that on the far side of this, these are going to be good enough. Now, I actually disagree with the argument that gets advocated that, well, no one needs to know programming anymore. I actually think that the fluency of AI models in code generation can actually be a great opportunity for folks, for humans, to upskill and become more proficient operators at them. But nevertheless, there is definitely something to be said that I think there is a natural division of labor that happens when humans and AI agents collaborate, that the human is the creative, the conceptual part of the relationship, if you will, and the AI agent is the executor who's actually churning out a lot of the JavaScript, Python, or whatever language we're working in for a project. So I think there is a lot of validity in the idea that rather than spend a lot of our time learning the code generation that we might not be doing very soon all that much of, we should replace it with a different order of skills and different skill set that's more geared towards becoming effective operators and supervisors. And when I think about what that might look like, I think about things like evaluations, prompt engineering to an extent, although I suspect that prompt engineering is going to become less relevant over time, observability, guardrails, all that kind of stuff. So what do you think is, you know, someone coming into, for example, my wife and I have a delightful 5-month-old son called Ezra. And of course, I'm hitching my hopes on him being some kind of a tech prodigy so we can retire at a very early age. But if I was thinking, if Ezra was so motivated to pursue a career in technology and AI, what is his generation, who are going to be sort of, you know, studying their first exams in about 13 years' time, at which point AI will already be far evolved beyond what it is now. What kind of skill set is going to be what they need to know, and what do we need to sort of know today for folks like me in my 30s, maybe halfway through my career? It's really hard to know, I think, at the moment, where should we be investing our time in upskilling and CPD, continuous professional development, if we're planning on being at the forefront or at least on very much on top of AI for the remainder of our careers.
Welcome back to My Weird Prompts, the podcast where Daniel Rosehill sends us fascinating, sometimes complex, sometimes just plain weird ideas, and Herman and I try to make sense of them. I'm Korn, and with me as always is the ever-insightful Herman.
Great to be here, Korn. And Daniel's prompt this week is particularly timely, given how rapidly the AI landscape is evolving. He's challenged us to think about AI upskilling, and what that truly means for individuals and for policy in this new era.
He really has. Daniel mentioned reading about an AI Center of Excellence in Education being developed in Israel, which initially sparked a thought about the traditional answer to future-proofing careers, STEM. Science, technology, engineering, mathematics, producing graduates who can code in Python and work with AI and ML. But then he threw a curveball.
Indeed, and it's a crucial curveball. Daniel observed that, having used generative AI tools for code generation himself over the past year, and even, as he put it, being instructed in Python by robots, the landscape has fundamentally shifted. He notes that these AI models, especially with each new release, are becoming more powerful, requiring less supervision, and overcoming those initial frustrating hurdles where AI would get a project 90% there and then ruin it.
That's a great way to put it. So, has saying we're crossing a significant reliability and dependability threshold? And this leads to his core question. If the AI can do so much of the direct coding and generation, what skills do people need now? What about for someone like his young son, Ezra, who'll be taking exams in 13 years, when AI will be even further evolved? And for people like Daniel, in their 30s, perhaps halfway through their career, where should we be investing our time in upskilling and continuous professional development?
It's a profound set of questions, Korn, because it challenges a foundational assumption that has driven workforce development for decades. For a long time, the answer to technological advancement, whether it was the rise of the internet or the early days of machine learning, was always more technical specialists. We needed more engineers, more data scientists, more programmers. And that's still true to an extent, but the nature of those roles and the skills surrounding them are undergoing a radical redefinition.
Okay, so let's dig into that. What is this different now? Because for a lot of people, when they hear AI is doing the coding, their immediate thought is panic. My job is gone. But Daniel's prompt isn't saying that. He's talking about a shift in how we interact with these tools.
Precisely. Daniel explicitly states he disagrees with the argument that no one needs to know programming anymore. And I concur wholeheartedly. What we're seeing is not the abolition of technical skills, but rather an elevation and reorientation of them. Think of it less as AI replacing ACK replacing its programming, and more as AI augmenting it. It to such a degree that the human role shifts from direct, granular execution to higher level conceptualization, supervision, and strategic guidance.
So, it's not about being a human Python compiler anymore? You're saying the AI is handling that nitty-gritty, but we still need to understand what it's doing?
Exactly. Imagine a skilled craftsperson. Before power tools, they might spend hours meticulously planing wood by hand. Then the electric planer comes along. Does that mean the craftsperson no longer needs to understand wood, joinery, or design? No, it means they can execute their designs faster and with greater precision, focusing their expertise on the creative and problem-solving aspects, rather than the raw, manual labor of surfacing timber. Generative AI is our new, incredibly powerful power tool. It handles the initial planning of code, freeing the human to focus on the architecture, the elegant solution.
That's a great analogy. So, what specific skills are emerging that are replacing, or at least becoming more important than the direct code generation that AI can now handle? Daniel mentioned evaluations, prompt engineering, with a caveat, observability, and guardrails. Those sound pretty technical, even if they're not writing Python line by line.
They are technical, but they operate at a different layer of abstraction. Let's break them down. First, evaluations. This refers to the ability to critically assess the output of an AI system. If an AI generates code, an essay, a design, or a financial model, the human needs to be able to determine if it's correct, efficient, robust, and aligned with the intended goals. This requires a deep understanding of the domain, whether that's software engineering principles, the nuances of a particular language, or the business objectives to spot errors, inefficiencies, or biases that the AI might have introduced. It's no longer just, did the code...
So, you still need to know what good code looks like, even if you're not writing it yourself. You're the quality assurance, the senior architect in a way.
Precisely. You're moving from the implementer to the auditor and the architect. Next, prompt engineering. Daniel mentioned it, with the caveat that it might become less relevant over time, and he's right to add that nuance. Initially, prompt engineering was seen as this magical skill where you had to learn the exact incantations to get AI to do what you want, and it still requires a lot of finesse today. However, as AI models become more sophisticated, they're getting better at understanding natural language and intent, reducing the need for hyper-specific, almost arcane prompting. The trend is towards more intuitive interaction.
So, it's a bridge skill, important now, but maybe less so in a few years?
A good way to think of it. These principles of clear communication, logical breakdown of tasks, and iterative refinement will remain crucial, but the specific prompt engineering as a standalone, highly technical discipline might evolve into a more generalized, effective communication with intelligent systems. However, even as the models become smarter, the ability to precisely articulate a complex problem or desired outcome to an AI will always be valuable. It's like being able to clearly brief a team of expert engineers versus just muttering vaguely.
That makes sense. What about observability and guardrails? Those sound like they're about keeping the AI in line or understanding its behavior.
You've hit it perfectly. Observability is about understanding how an AI system is performing in real time. This isn't just about whether it's giving the right answer, but why it's giving that answer, how it's consuming resources, if it's exhibiting unexpected behavior, or if its performance is degrading over time. This requires understanding metrics, logging, tracing, and monitoring tools, often integrating with existing software development practices. It's about having a transparent window into the AI's black box.
So, if the AI makes a mistake, or starts acting weirdly, you need to be able to look under the hood and figure out why.
Exactly. And the why is often far more complex with AI than with traditional deterministic software. Then we have guardrails. These are the mechanisms and policies you put in place to ensure AI systems operate within ethical, legal, and operational boundaries. This can involve technical constraints like setting limits on output, or more human-centric policies like defining acceptable use cases, implementing human-in-the-loop interventions, or establishing review processes. It's about building safety nets and ethical fences around powerful AI.
That ties into the biggest societal questions around AI safety and responsibility. So, these new skills sound like they're less about the how to write code, and more about how to manage and direct intelligent systems responsibly and effectively.
Precisely. Daniel's observation about a natural division of labor between humans and AI agents collaborating is spot on. The human becomes the creative, the conceptual, the ethical compass, the strategic planner. The AI agent becomes the executor, turning out the JavaScript, Python, or whatever language is required for the project. This is a profound shift from a solo coding paradigm to a symbiotic human-AI partnership.
Okay, so let's bring it back to Daniel's two generational questions. First, for his son Ezra, who'll be looking at careers in 13 years. What kind of skill set should his generation be aiming for, given how far AI will have evolved? And then for Daniel's own generation, those maybe halfway through their careers, what should they be focusing on today?
For Ezra's generation, the emphasis will shift even further away from rote technical execution and towards what we might call meta-skills. Critical thinking, complex problem-solving, creativity, adaptability, and ethical reasoning will be paramount. They will likely be interacting with AI interfaces that are far more intuitive than what we have today. potentially even thinking in terms of high-level intent rather than structured prompts. Understanding the principles of computation, logic, and data structures will still be valuable, but the ability to frame novel problems, interpret AI outputs with nuance, and design human-centric systems will be core.
So, almost to return to classic liberal arts skills, but paired with an understanding of technology.
A powerful blend, yes. They'll need to be digital philosophers and ethical architects as much as technical implementers. For Daniel's generation, those in their 30s and beyond, the focus needs to be on reskilling and upskilling in these new operator and supervisory roles. This means not just passively consuming AI tools, but actively learning to integrate them into workflows, understand their limitations, and develop the skills we just discussed: advanced evaluation, pragmatic prompt refinement, observability analysis, and implementing guardrails.
So, for someone who might have built a career on, say, front-end web development or data analysis using traditional tools, it's about shifting their expertise to managing AI that does some of those tasks, rather than directly doing them themselves.
Absolutely. If your expertise was previously in crafting Python scripts for data transformation, now it might be in designing the overall data pipeline, evaluating the AI-generated transformation scripts for efficiency and bias, and setting up guardrails to prevent data leaks or incorrect outputs. The domain knowledge remains critical, but the tools and methods of applying that knowledge have changed.
This also brings up the policy level Daniel mentioned. What can governments and educational institutions do to ensure we have a workforce with the right skills? Because this isn't just about individual choice, it's a systemic challenge.
It's a massive systemic challenge, Korn. At the policy level, there are several critical initiatives. Firstly, curriculum reform. Educational institutions, from primary schools to universities, need to integrate AI literacy and human-AI collaboration into their core curricula, not just to specialized electives. This means less emphasis on purely rote coding and more on computational thinking, problem decomposition, data ethics, and the responsible use of AI tools across all disciplines.
So, not just for computer science majors, but for everyone? Even humanities students?
Precisely. Just as digital literacy became essential for everyone, AI literacy will be too. Secondly, lifelong learning infrastructure. Governments need to invest in accessible, affordable, and high-quality continuous professional development programs. This means partnerships between academia, industry, and government to develop certifications, online courses, and apprenticeships that focus on these new AI-adjacent skills for the existing workforce. Incentives for companies to invest in employee upskilling will also be vital.
That makes a lot of sense. People already in their careers need pathways to adapt without having to go back to university for another four-year degree.
Exactly. And thirdly, foresight and research. Governments and policy bodies should actively fund research into future AI capabilities and their societal impact. This includes anticipating job displacement and job creation, understanding ethical implications, and constantly adapting policy frameworks to ensure that the workforce development strategies remain relevant in an incredibly fast-moving field. An AI Center of Excellence, as Daniel mentioned, is a great example of this, if its mandate extends beyond just technical R&D to include education and societal integration.
So, it's a multi-pronged approach, education from the ground up, continuous learning for those already working, and proactive policy and research to stay ahead of the curve. This isn't a one-and-done solution, is it? It's going to be a constant cycle of adaptation.
It absolutely is. The pace of change with AI means that upskilling is no longer a periodic event, but a continuous process. The shelf life of a specific technical skill is shortening, which means adaptability and a growth mindset become the ultimate meta skills for the future workforce. The ability to learn, unlearn, and relearn will be more valuable than any single programming language or AI tool.
And that's something Daniel's prompt really gets at. We're in this new era where the rules are still being written, and what was true yesterday might not be true tomorrow. So, for those of us navigating this, what are the key practical takeaways? If I'm thinking about my own career, or advising someone else, what three things should I focus on for AI upskilling?
Ixalan questions Xivicasau, AI fluency, not just proficiency, and their specus is goes beyond knowing how to use a specific AI tool. It's about understanding the underlying principles of AI, its capabilities, and its limitations. Engage with AI systems, experiment with them, but also read about their ethical implications, their biases, and their societal impact. This fluency allows you to be an effective operator and supervisor. 2.
So, it sounds like we're being asked to become more discerning, more human, and more agile in our approach to work. It's a challenge, but also an incredible opportunity to redefine our roles alongside these powerful tools.
Precisely. And for governments and organizations, the practical takeaway is to view workforce development not as a fixed educational pipeline, but as a dynamic ecosystem that needs constant nurturing and adaptation. Invest in a robust lifelong learning infrastructure, foster interdisciplinary collaboration, and prioritize ethical and responsible AI integration from the top down.
This has been a really thought-provoking discussion, Herman. Daniel really gave us a lot to chew on with this prompt. It's clear that the future isn't about humans competing against Kegainstay, AI, but learning to collaborate with it in increasingly sophisticated ways.
Absolutely, Korn. And the foresight to anticipate and adapt to these shifts, as Daniel highlighted, will define success for individuals, organizations, and even entire nations. It's a very exciting, if somewhat daunting, time to be thinking about careers and skills.
A fantastic conversation, Herman. And a massive thank you to Daniel Rosehill for sending in such a brilliant and timely prompt. It really allowed us to explore the nuances of AI upskilling from individual and policy perspectives. We love digging into these complex ideas.
My pleasure, Korn. And thank you, Daniel, for continually pushing us to think deeper about the human AI frontier.
You can find My Weird Prompts on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. We encourage you to subscribe, listen, and share. And who knows, maybe Daniel will even let us know what Ezra thinks about these predictions in a few years' time.
Oh, one can only hope.
For My Weird Prompts, I'm Korn.
And I'm Herman.
We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.